Well.
How do you feel about trying that out now? Switching back and forth with well. Just something to spice it up. Should we try
it
again?
Let's do it one more time. Yeah.
Okay. Well.
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 Somehow it's even more cringy.
It's so bad. Okay. I don't even want to talk about it anymore because we already spent enough time talking about how cringy it is. Let's just move right on past it.
How are you feeling this morning?
Oh. I'm not super well. I don't want to get, you know, too graphic too quickly on this podcast, but like I will tell you that last night I did lay awake after our intense day of eating and I just muttered like something's got to give. Like one way or another, because I was just, I mean, I never take Pepto-Bismol, but I was downing Pepto-Bismol last night because my stomach hurt. So it was like an incredible meal. Let's set the stage for the listeners.
Yes, let's talk about it.
We went to the most incredible dinner last night.
We did. I'm in New York visiting Chandler.
Everyone is in New York. It's so fun. I've taken these days off of work. Mm-hmm. So we're really just ensconced with each other right mm-hmm. now.
Yeah.
And that led to, you know, a gorgeous 3-hour meal where
three
and a half to 4 hours. I need to edit my Instagram caption. Where we essentially ordered everything on the menu. And when we asked our server, like, is this going to be too much food? And she was like, no, I'll course it for you. Which I will say it was actually the death of everything because basically there was we got there at like 5:45, right?
Right. To a restaurant called Lilia in Brooklyn.
Amazing. Like I was supposed to go there on my birthday, but then, you know, the hurricane kind of happened and they like closed down for that day. Anyways. So we sit down, we proceed to order essentially everything on the menu, and we get like our first set of appetizers, and then our 25 minutes later, we get our second set of appetizers. 25 minutes later, we get our first course of pasta. Then 45 minutes after that, we get our second course of pasta. And this is where I think everything went wrong. I think that two courses of pasta made me feel like my stomach was full of Elmer's glue.
Okay. We got, you guys, we had 6 people. We got every single, like, starter bite, like starter thing.
And not, double of one, I'm pretty sure.
And then we ordered double. Yeah, we got like 5 appetizers. And then we got 3 salads. Then I
honestly forgot about the salads.
Yeah. So we had – you didn't even mention the salads. So we had 5 appetizers, 3 salads. Then for 6 people, we got 8 pastas. 8 pastas.
4, like, so 4 at a time, 4, and then in basically 35 to 45 minutes later, another 4 pastas.
And then also each person ordered like 4 cocktails.
Yeah.
It was the most decadent meal. I know it's like a good – we're really like on a roll when Courtney is like one drink ahead of me. Like I'm trying to catch up to Courtney. Like that is – it's a good feeling and I know we're just having a wonderful time.
I mean honestly I felt like we were in Europe or something because it was just like an epic night of like feasting and drinking and it was – but it wasn't like, you know, over the top. Nobody was like sloppy. It was just like the party kept going. It was just so fun.
I mean, actually on the ride home, I was like, wow, I feel like if someone like wanted me to do some sort of like engineering for a bridge, I could do it. Like that's how sober I felt.
Really? Because when you're sober, you could engineer a bridge.
I don't know.
The hubris I deal with, truly the arrogance. Lauren, I would never walk on a bridge that you constructed. And I mean that with all the love in my heart.
Okay, that is accurate. No, I don't have any business engineering anything. I just mean the level. I felt so sober when I left that dinner. And it was because we'd eaten so much food. Oh my gosh. I mean, luckily I had not eaten the entire day pre-dinner. Unfortunately, there were people in our party who had also had a Chinese food lunch.
We had like, you know, dumplings for lunch that were incredible. I also like made myself a protein shake in the morning. Some of us were, you know, already somewhat full when we arrived at the meal, but it was an amazing time. Truly like an unforgettable dinner. The food was out of this world. And
incredible.
Yeah. So I do have to come clean on the podcast about something that happened yesterday. And you can speak to this because you witnessed it firsthand, but my footwear situation.
Okay, let's talk about it. It was pretty bad.
You guys, the picture I posted on Instagram, it was not reality, folks. Okay. I have bought a pair of loafers from Mango, a pair that Courtney posted about. They are really cute. I have been trying to break them in for the past 5 days in anticipation of this trip. Okay. I've been wearing thick socks. I've been looking like Thomas Jefferson, wearing thick socks, like thick white socks with my loafers, like out and about in the world because I wanted to break them in. Okay. I've been doing everything. I bought shoe stretcher spray. I didn't even know that existed, but I bought it. So yesterday I was like, okay, I think I've finally broken them in. I think I can wear them. Not true. I get about 3 good hours in before my heels are bloody. Okay, they've been completely obliterated and I am so barely walking. And so for the first attempt to save my feet, it happens at the Duane Reade and on the Lower East Side, okay?
Right.
I go into the convenience store and I look for the blister Band-Aids, okay? These have given me reprieve in the past. And I'm like, it's fine. I will buy the blister Band-Aids. I'll put them on. I am also wearing tights. And in New York, there are like no real convenient bathrooms anywhere. And so this is just like a reality that I'm adjusting to. So I just realize that I'm going to have to pull down my tights in this CVS, essentially. There's mm-hmm. lots of chairs for people getting their blood pressure checked or whatever. Somehow there was ample seating, which is actually pretty convenient. So I shimmy my tights down, okay, in Duane Reade, and I apply my blister Band-Aids before I've even bought them. That's how bad the pain is. Okay, I also put Moleskine on the back. I'm like triaging this wound.
Okay.
And then I pay for the Band-Aids, apologize to the staff for using their store as, you know, a dressing room. And Courtney takes video of me the whole time taking my tights on and off in Duane Reade. But I walk out of there with my head held high because I think the pain is going to go away. I think I'm going to be able to walk around. I'm going to be able to enjoy this GD vacation. And within 45 minutes, the wound dressings have completely fallen off and like shifted to like the bottom of my foot. So I'm just back to, nylons and bloodied heels and, blisters.
Right.
So Wyatt, my dear brother-in-law, at this point, he's known me since I was like 14. He's got no shame in saying like, Chan, let's just buy you some new shoes. Let's just get it over with. And at this point, we're approaching the flagship TJ Maxx in mm-hmm. Soho.
Stunning.
Stunning location, prime real estate. He goes, I'll buy you any pair of shoes from here. And I am that desperate. I mean, I have a cute ass outfit on. I have a really cute outfit on, but I can't walk. I literally can't walk. I'm like hobbling. So I reluctantly walk into TJ Maxx with Wyatt. Courtney won't even be seen. Courtney says, I'll meet you guys after. Have some brother and sister time. She literally won't walk into TJ Maxx with us, which is just like, pretty classic.
Yes, of course.
And Wyatt proceeds to show me some waterproof shoes and says, would these be of any use to you in the winter? And I said, if my feet were underwater, I would be seen wearing those. Anyways, we then find some, I'm going to say, what's the word? Some passable knockoff Uggs, low rise black Uggs. Okay. That feel like heaven on earth when I slip my foot into them. My bleeding, wounded, decrepit dogs, like, find relief in these Ugg boots, in these knockoff Ugg boots.
You just refer to your feet as dogs?
Yeah. You never heard that expression before?
No. Like,
my dogs are barking?
No, I've never heard that expression.
It's a line from The Office. Anyway, I'm only human. And in that moment, I was humbled and I knew that I had no choice but to walk out in these Uggs. So for the majority of yesterday, I was walking around Soho in my very cute dress. Okay, very cute dress, cute little tights, and black Ugg boots.
It was a great look from the calves up.
Knees up, yeah.
Yeah, I would say that from the calves down, Chandler looked – I mean, here's the thing about knockoff. Like, Uggs are already in bad taste. They already look bad 99% of the time. No offense, everyone. But you know it's true. And you know you are sacrificing your dignity for, the comfort of that sheep fur against your dogs.
They're not bad when you got a pair of sweatpants on and a sweatshirt. That's like, whatever. When you're wearing black nylons and a dress.
Sweatpants and a sweatshirt with Ugg boots. Like, I'm sorry.
Oh, I don't mind that at all.
You've given up.
That's a look. That's a certain casual look I'm fully invested in.
Oh, I realize it's a look. It's just a bad look. It's a very much like an American, like, I've casual, given up. I yes. have no, like, I don't know. I don't approve of like the sweatpants in public look that everyone is so into right now.
Oh my gosh. Says a woman who barely puts on a pair of pants to drive to Starbucks in the morning.
I don't drive to Starbucks in the morning. I make coffee at home. Okay.
Okay. Well, you know, when you're on vacation, we're all in pajamas, hobbling our way to Starbucks.
I think drive-through attire is a totally different animal. I do. Drive-through attire is a totally different thing. Then even you cannot walking in to pick up a mobile order.
You are honestly taking on a Kate Middleton attitude about Ugg boots right now, and I am not here for it.
It's making my stomach churn. I don't own a pair of Uggs. I never have.
Oh, bitch. Lauren, you literally bought the knockoff Amazon Uggs, and you told me about them.
Fuck. This was a long time ago.
Oh,
a
my gosh.
I even forgot about it.
I would like to apologize to our parents for the cussing that's just happened, but you guys, Lauren's a liar.
No, okay, I forgot about those.
I'm throwing the book at you through my laptop right now.
I forgot about those. Anyway, you know what? I'm like Dr. Laura. Do as I say, not as I do.
Okay.
I'm telling you guys the truth. Any sort of Ugg, any sort of knockoff Ugg, it's not a good situation. Chandler looked really great yesterday until she didn't, and then she looked pretty bad.
What were your thoughts when you approached our table at Mercer Street Kitchen?
I didn't know anything was amiss until someone, you know, prompted me to look below the table, in which case, you know, all my sense of reality completely shifted from beneath my feet as I looked down and saw, as you put it, your dogs nestled in those black ankle Uggs.
It was so bad, Uggs.
It was pretty trashy.
I mean, and then like we go to meet like Cute Fewer Finer, who's like she's a gal who like owns a jewelry brand in Brooklyn, and I'm just like, I have to walk in there in Ugg boots. So I of course make a, you know, I have to make a public apology to all of her staff. Saying, I'm sorry for my footwear. I just, like, I honestly felt so embarrassed. I was, like, holding my sweater in front of my legs because I was so ashamed.
Well, are you basically screwed, too, now because you have these blisters and so all shoes are going to hurt?
No, I just think I'm going to put some new Band-Aids on and I just can't wear the loafers anymore. The loafers are – I don't know what to do. Does anyone have any solutions for me? Because from what I've heard, just, like, loafers suck all the time. So, I don't know. Anyways.
Well, okay. What else? What else is happening? We're here – till I depart on Thursday, so two more full days. I'm going to have to get wheeled out.
I know. Do you know what? I can't get out of my brain, and every time I say it, I feel like an imposter because you say it all the time.
What?
And I actually said it like an hour ago. Full stop.
I don't say that all the time.
You say it all the time, Lauren.
I used to say it, and I don't think I've said the words full stop for a year.
Well, it was pretty annoying even then.
Okay.
Do you want to hear this next story and why I was talking about it?
Sure.
This is going to take a darker, a little gross of a turn, and I'm apologizing. This is also now a warning that if you're in the car or whatever, sharing headphones with a child, you know, skip about 2 minutes ahead.
Okay. Can I also give a warning or a disclaimer?
Yes, please.
This podcast is going to have no organization, you guys, and Chandler and I are just going to be literally talking like this the entire time.
We're free flowing.
Yeah, if you think that there's going to be some gorgeous, structured, you know, song and dance coming up.
Right.
Not happening, Diane.
Not happening.
So anyway.
Anyway.
Set your expectations accordingly.
Right. No table of contents. Yeah. So basically, I took the bus for – I've taken the bus before, but I take it by myself for the first time in New York.
You took
basically,
the bus?
Yes. I've been seeing – this is my journey. I've been seeing this pair of jeans from Abercrombie on Instagram, okay? And have you been seeing these? Or am I just getting served?
No, I have not.
They have, like, this cool, like, button fly where, like, it kind of, like – it's kind of, like, asymmetrical. Anyways, it's really cool. I really like them. But I've been seeing them, and they're only at – there's, like, a Goldie pair, and then there's the Abercrombie version, which is cheaper, obviously. So I'm like, okay – I really want to try these jeans. I'm impatient and I really want, you know, a cute pair of jeans to wear when everyone's in town. And the only way I could get to Abercrombie, there wasn't really a subway that I could take. I had to take the bus, or I was like going to have to Uber or walk, heaven forbid, which wasn't in the cards for me. So I get on the bus and my ride there is 100% normal and like perfect. And I'm like, wow, I'm just truly a city woman. I'm so ready for this new part of my life. I'm just like embracing it. I take a few selfies, you know, I just am like, this is my new life. I just take the bus, I take the train, you know, whatever. And I don't know why, like I don't know why the subway and the train feel different to me, the subway and the bus feel different to me because they shouldn't, but they do. Anyways. Okay. And
I'm waiting for the story to get exciting, but please continue.
I go to Abercrombie. I try on the jeans. I actually have a transcendent experience where the jeans I texted a lot of people telling them how great the jeans were. And I'll do a little story about it because I actually feel like these are great jeans. Anyways, this is where things take a dark turn, okay?
Finally. I want to know why you're telling us this story.
I get on the bus home, okay? On the bus home and it's pretty crowded and, you know, lots of people on it. And I'm just kind of like, whatever, it's going to be annoying. I'm going to have to stand, okay? And I've been on the bus for probably I had to wait a little bit for this one because I missed the other one. Anyways.
Oh my gosh. I'm sitting on the bus. This is a story that will never end.
I know.
But continue.
And the guy across from, like, across the way starts masturbating.
What?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. This was not what I expected.
And you're like, where's the climax? When is this going to get better? I'm like, well, it's about to take a real dark turn.
Oh, my gosh. Stop it. Okay. So
this is, like, actually not uncommon, which is – like, I've seen TikToks about, like, crazy stuff like this. And, like, this is not uncommon, sadly.
Wait, okay, so he's doing this, and how far away is he from you?
Mom had the same exact questions. He wasn't close to me. He was, like, he was seated probably in the seat right behind the bus driver. And I'm, like, you know, like, the halfway part in the bus where, like, more people get on? Like, standing over there. So I'm not, like, sitting next to him or anything. But I think a girl had come into the bus and sat next to him, and then she, like, left. But then this amazing woman is just like, bus driver, there's a passenger you need to kick off this bus, or bus driver, there's a man who needs to get off this bus. And the bus driver didn't do anything and nobody cared. And then I got off on the next stop because I was like, you know what, this concludes my experience today.
Wow. Doesn't that happen on the subway a lot too?
You know, I actually feel like I haven't seen it happen on this. I've never seen it happen on the subway. And I've only seen stuff happen, like stuff related to it on the bus. I don't know why the subway feels different. I mean, clearly this person is not in their right mind if this is something they feel comfortable doing.
Did this happen after you got on the bus, or was it already in progress? Like, are you flattering yourself at all with this story?
Oh my gosh. I'm not even going to answer that question.
I'm just curious.
Wow, you're literally as bad as, like, journalists, like, interviewing Britney Spears being like, so when did you lose your virginity to Justin Timberlake?
I'm just saying, what were you wearing? Were you asking? No, I'm just kidding.
I was literally. So anyways, that happened to me. And, I've summoned the strength to then record this podcast with you.
Wow. Thank you. Honestly, trauma. That is, like, a very jarring and gross thing. Because the thing about it is that's scary is, like, you don't know what else they're capable of. Like, they're willing to defy that social norm. What other social norms are they willing to break?
This is what caused me to use the term full stop with mom, because I call mom and I'm like, oh, this just happened. It's just like, mom's the person you call when, you know, trauma happens. Mm-hmm. And I call her and I'm just like, honestly, it's just like, you know, I think – as a woman, it's just like I feel like I have to create this really hard exterior shell because I'm just like afraid of men all the time.
Okay.
And men are just like scary. Like, not – I'm not like – you're saying K like I'm like, you know, a crazy person.
No, that's like, not – that. You know what I'm saying? That's not what I meant to say.
But like I was just talking to mom and I'm like, you know, I just feel like as a woman, men are constantly a threat to you.
I'm saying K apprehensively because I want to know what mom's going to say.
Right.
That's what I mean.
And also, I actually have another story to tell you.
Story time with Chandler today.
Here's the thing. Okay, so mom says – I'm like, mom, I just feel like as a woman – like mom just like is playing devil's advocate slightly. And she's like, men, it's weird. She's like this anti-feminist, or she's like, you know, men are also threatened by women too. Or, you know, like, you would be surprised if we looked at the statistics. And I'm like, what?
Really?
And then I was like, what are all these datelines you watch? And then I just said to her, I was like, honestly, I do not, as a woman, I walk around all the time. Like, it is inherent for me as a woman to feel threatened by men. I don't think men lay awake at night thinking women are going to break into their apartment and kill them.
Right. For sure.
And I was like, and then I said, full stop.
Oh, okay. Anyways. So that's where the full stop came from.
And then, that's where the full stop came from. And that's the conversation we're having.
It's such a winding road. I'm so sorry, everyone.
Sorry.
Not that it's entertaining, but it's definitely
chaotic.
This is
just like literally, honestly, you came to Pop Apologist to hear me have a conversation with my sister. This is what it is.
Yeah.
Okay. This brings me to my final story, and then I will stop, unloading. But basically,
not a great choice.
Okay. The super in my building is like this, like, you know, burly Polish guy, and he's you know, he's definitely got a gruff way about him, but like I had my sconces replaced in my apartment and he was like hanging out like with the electrician while they were doing it. And we just got chatting about like art, and like he actually has like a lot of beautiful art, and like he's kind of collects like antique stuff. Anyways, but like he's also not the type of guy, like I've seen him like look at my butt before. Okay.
Okay.
You know, and so I'm like, I just like, he's not the type of person where I want to be like alone in a room with him.
Yeah.
Totally. And so what's been happening is that he's been sending me pictures of his art.
Oh no. Like he's like, so, you guys are friends now.
Well, yeah. And like, but I'm like, is this harmless? So then like, but so then I tell Ben and I'm like, it's fine. Like he sent me a few pictures after that conversation that day of his like pieces in his house, which was like fine. I was like, oh, those are beautiful. And then like today he texts me like a few pieces when I think he was like out and about like looking at stuff. So now we're like fully friendly, which is like, it's not
Chandler.
This is the problem. I know.
Let me cut in. I'm sorry, but you are not friendly. He's hitting on you. Well, he's trying to keep a conversation going. He's not interested in your opinion about art.
Well, I know he's not asking for – this is the thing. Like there's a little bit of a language barrier. He's not like asking my opinion. I think he's just like – like he's just like sees nice, and I was like, oh, you got to show me like, you know, which stores you go to. Like I was trying to be friendly as well, but like it's just now like now he's like sending me pictures of art, and I'm like, I don't really want to respond to all this. And I'm like, it's just, is this harmless? Is this just friendly? Like I've been raised, and I feel like my brain thinks that all men are like dangerous, but I'm like, oh, or is it just like a normal friendly person? I don't know.
Okay. So what did Ben say when you showed him?
Ben was like, yeah, it's a little weird. He was like, just like, you know, whatever. But he wasn't overly concerned about it because it's not like he's not like, hey, are you there? Are you, you know, like I didn't respond for forever. And then I just said,
of course,
wow.
But he's hoping that you'll respond. Well, and like you guys will start chatting.
He knows I have a boyfriend.
Chandler, if guys think that even if you have a boyfriend, if you're willing to respond to them, you are interested in a second boyfriend. You're interested in a side piece. I'm not kidding. This is how people think.
I'm not saying that like, yeah. Anyway.
I thought you were the like very like world weary, urban, cool person. Where's that naivete coming into play?
I think it's just like, you know, people are generally nice. And so, you know, I mean, I'm not like, I'm being very polite, and I'm not actually like not even responding. But anyways, it's just like the world is a scary place, y'all. It's spooky season.
I remember one time I was driving on the freeway and a guy in his truck did the V thing, like put V up against his mouth. Were you with me? I feel like you might have been with me.
We had another choice freeway experience with men, but I was not there with you.
What was our choice freeway experience?
Do you remember when we were driving back from Salt Lake and that guy started also masturbating in the car next to us?
You know, honestly, it's like my memory. I remember something happening, but I think I was driving and I didn't actually see it.
I was driving.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't think I had a good view, but maybe I did.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
It's like one of those things where this is so dark, but it's like one of those things where you know what's happening.
Right.
You know?
Yes. You know, it's coming back to me a little bit. I
remember
like
we like pulled off the freeway and like sat in the McDonald's parking lot for like 25 minutes.
So
we were terrified.
Out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ugh, exactly. Because that's the thing. It's like you don't know what these people are capable
Literally.
Of because they're willing to defy these like very strong, you know, mm-hmm. social boundaries. And
right. Norms. Right.
So.
Yeah, and it's just so then when people play devil's advocate, you know, men are also threatened by women.
The thing is, women are physically weaker than men, mm-hmm. period. Mm-hmm. Full stop, if you will.
Right.
So, of course, we are naturally more vulnerable, okay? Uh-huh. It's just the reality.
Right.
It's just the reality. And so I don't apologize for our fear. And here's the thing that's also uncomfortable. Your super knows you live alone in his building. He probably has the keys to your apartment. Like, it's just, like, kind of sketchy, you know?
It's not a great feeling.
Like, I would get a doubled if I was you. I would get a separate lock.
Well, I have a separate lock. I have, like,
okay, good.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a key to?
Mm-mm, you can't. Like, you don't have keys to a deadbolt.
Okay, good. Yeah, because that's the thing is it's, like, you need to be able to just, like, rest easy.
I'm really not too overly concerned about it, but I do think I just need to, like, you know, maybe be a little bit less friendly because, you know, some men just, you know, think everything is a freaking hint.
guys think that if you want to talk to them, that you are interested in some, like if you want to carry on any sort of banter, text back and forth.
I mean, texting, I'm not doing that at all. I'm not like.
But men will think that if you do.
Right, right. If you respond at all, even.
Correct. Ugh, yeah. It's a gross world. But
this is why it's like, you know, to some degree, danger is everywhere. You just got to be vigilant. And today and over the past 2 days, I felt like I've had to be extremely vigilant. And I'm a little sick of being vigilant. Okay, that's all.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, I guess I will say that Ben said he would set up security cameras for me. He has like an extra one that he was like, I'll set up one up in your hallway.
That's so mom of you to have like a security camera.
Literally inside my own house. But it was like so hot when he told me that. I was like, oh my gosh, you're like literally the best person in the entire
world.
Mom
has like hidden security cameras in her own bedroom. Who knows what they're for? If anything, they're just to catch us as we potentially like pilfer clothing from her closet.
I mean, yeah, they were literally for her children more than for intruders.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Well, anyways, okay, let's get so off now that we've gotten this dark and heavy territory, let's try to move on to, you know, something lighter. Let's talk about Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, because this is a really special season for us.
Oh my gosh. So exciting to see one of our nearest and dearest, the one and only Angie Harrington on Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. Chandler, what was this like? It was kind of an out-of-body experience for me.
I will tell you that I watched this on my, you know, little laptop, and I was starstruck the entire time. I actually watched the episode twice because I was so starstruck. Because Angie is like one of our nearest and dearest. I mean, she's been on the podcast. I used to work for her. We love her, you know, beyond words. And so seeing her on like one of our favorite shows was just, yeah, out of body for sure.
Yeah, it's just so strange to see someone you've known for years and years.
Yeah, since college.
Yeah. You know, I think that, okay, we have to just get into the drama, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that, okay, so everyone, if you're watching Salt Lake, you know the drama right now is Angie threw a party and she threw the casino night. And there's big drama because I'm just going to recap it briefly. She told Lisa Barlow that she had invited Whitney to the party, and she kind of, you know, was talking about the party with her and Sarah Jane. And then 6 hours later, she got a call from the caterer and the caterer or the, a text, and the caterer said she could no longer do the party anymore. Right. Now, what's interesting about that is Lisa Barlow is very, you know, very in with these caterers, and they work together a lot. And it was 6 hours after she had talked to Lisa about the fact that she had invited Whitney. So all circumstantial evidence points to the idea that Lisa shut down the caterers doing the party.
Right.
Correct?
Yes. And that is because, and for people who aren't familiar, Lisa and Whitney sort of have a beef, and Whitney and Angie are friends and also kind of, in a funny way, cousins through like, you know, some great, great, great grandfather.
Right. Right. And so the idea, I think basically what we all think is that Lisa tried to sabotage Angie's event. And here's the deal. So the caterers actually posted on Instagram and were like, you know, we would never like do anything to, you know, like we're just a small business. Mm-hmm, like mm-hmm. This had nothing to do with Lisa essentially. And they actually posted the text between messages. Them and Angie in stories. And the thing for me that seemed like extreme, like basically was the smoking gun, was Angie flat out asked them, would you do this event for full price? Because they kind of played it off like, hey, like Angie asked us to do it just to promote our business. And that wasn't a good business decision for me.
Yeah.
But for us. And Angie asked them, well, will you do it for full price? And they said no. And my question is, you're a business. You've already you have this night free. You've already, you know, like mm-hmm. been talking with this person. Why would you not accept a full price event and making more money? That doesn't make any sense.
It seems vindictive, in my opinion.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
So I think it's actually abundantly clear what happened. And it's super messed up.
Right. Super messed up. I think it's going to be interesting to see how the rest of this drama plays out throughout the season.
Right.
Obviously, we're Team Angie, goes without saying.
100%.
I mean, Angie also had a phenomenal first episode. Like, she brought it. I think she's, yeah, I think she's incredible. I mean, I already know that people are loving her. I actually had some coworkers be like, wait, oh my gosh, is this the you know, the person you kind of know? And I was like, oh, do I know her? Anyways, so she's killing it and we're very excited to see how it plays out.
I think what's interesting about Angie and knowing her is that she really is as beautiful on the inside as she is on the outside, like if not even more so, if that's possible. Like, she's just a really, really good person. And so I think right. that's what's going to be interesting for me to watch is like, how is this like very honestly sweet, kind, evolved, enlightened also, person yeah. going to kind of navigate these waters, and how will that impact her? And it's so interesting because like I'm kind of off social right now. Like, I'm basically going through a phase. That. Yeah. I don't have Instagram? It on. I'm off Instagram.
Okay.
I'm basically in a phase where I'm off social right now, but Courtney did send us a link to the drama with the caterers, and I read the comments, and it's just so funny because like these people, like I, you know, was reading comments where it was like, Angie's like, you know, privileged and out of touch or whatever. And I was just like, these people have no, it was just interesting. Like, these people who don't know this person at mm-hmm. all have seen mm-hmm. her on television for 20 minutes.
Right.
And suddenly they know her well enough that they're ready to just excoriate her, you know, right. like, and you're just like, what?
I mean,
like,
it's crazy.
You don't have a clue. This is like, this person is actually such a nice human being. Her husband is such a nice human being.
Right.
And it's just, I don't know. It just, for me, I think what's very interesting is it's baffling to see how emotionally caught up people are about mm-hmm. strangers.
Well, and that's what's fascinating. Quick they are to vilify them.
Yes.
And to just like, because I saw like polls on different Bravo accounts being like, you know, what do we think of Angie? And like literally like gamifying it. And it's just like, I don't know. I mean, yeah, it's kind of weird for us to see like someone who we like know very well in that way. And also just like, you got to have a thick skin, and she does, and she'll be great. But it's just, it's funky. I mean, and definitely makes you reconsider.
The woman hosted an event that raised, we know for a fact, $1 million for a cause that supports transgender youth. Like, I'm sorry, that's not good enough for you fucking people.
Literally.
Like, give me a break.
In like a very orthodox community that honestly is not supportive of trans individuals.
I saw one comment that was like, you know, you had two outfit changes and all those diamonds there. You could have just – let me tell you something.
What? Okay?
If you don't have the event, no one comes. No one donates. You have to put up the money. You have to create some dazzle and experience for people.
Out of pocket too. It's not like this was like sponsored.
Well, and obviously she did like ask the caterer to do it to promote their own brand. But that's what everyone does on these shows, you guys. People try to pay for as little as possible because there is enormous exposure and it is a great opportunity.
Oh yeah.
Guess what? If she had said, hey, Pop Apologist, if you want to come into town and do some live podcasting in the corner, you know,
nobody's going to listen, but you can just sit there and, you know, don't eat too much with the catering snacks.
With your logo. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And do some, you know,
with your logo,
with your live banter in the corner. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to pay you, but you can do it.
Right.
You better bet I would have had my ass on economy to Salt Lake.
You betcha.
For that gig. Okay.
No, and I would have. For these broads.
These witticisms would have been free of charge. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. And if I was a caterer, I would have, or any sort of service provider, any chance to get on TV is a great opportunity. And so I totally understand that, especially when you are hosting something that's for a TV show, that's a for-profit TV show. Mm-hmm. Why should you pay to basically create a set for a TV
content,
show?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Ugh. It
really gets my blood boiling.
Insane. And people are just the worst. So actually, I'm very proud of you for taking a little break.
Oh, from social?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's just something where I feel like it's not good for my mental health. It's like not
– absolutely not.
It's not good for my mental health. It's not good for my attention span. I think it's just overall – honestly, I don't even like the person it turns me into.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so I'm just trying to really reevaluate. So yeah,
okay.
Would you support me having a blog, Chandler?
I think so.
no longer, because I was thinking, like, what if I don't post stuff on Instagram anymore, but I do have some sort of online,
if you want to, absolutely. If you want to have a creative outlet or a place where you write and post things about your life, absolutely. Like, I mean, if you want to have a blog where you're not like on a news feed, where you're not just being constantly faced with other people's stuff, like, I totally support that and understand that.
Well, I think there's something interesting about switching to just a personal blog where you aren't, by posting something, you aren't actually putting yourself in someone else's phone, like, mm-hmm. or on someone else's feed. Like, right, if they go there, it's purely because they are interested and want to consume what you're creating.
Sometimes I do kind of wish that I could turn off different parts of my Instagram. Like, I wish sometimes that I could just have my Instagram post things, have my friends comment on it, whatever. But then sometimes I wish I could turn off the newsfeed or turn off stories entirely or just have stories on, not have newsfeed.
Right. It's just too much for me.
It's too much.
And I do. Here's the also thing. Like, I want to post all about, I want to like have something that documents things, but I don't want to be confined to like, okay, well, I need to post maybe 3 photos from this trip, period. And, you know, spread apart, and you have to come up with a caption that's palatable for people. What if I want to write 3 paragraphs, 6 paragraphs about the experience?
Right.
That's way too much. It's embarrassing. You can't do that. Like, there's too many norms on Instagram. Right.
I mean, literally last night, my working caption for my photo, I sent it to Courtney. I asked Ben about it and he was like, I think it's maybe TMI, but I sent it to Courtney and she's so nice and supportive. She just like said, maybe don't say the word damn, but my working caption was, currently downing Pepto-Bismol, but damn, this was good.
Wait, I think that's hilarious.
Isn't that funny? Ben was like, it's a little bit TMI.
Oh my gosh.
Should I change it? Maybe I'll change it back. Should I change it back right now?
Yeah, I think you should. I think that's hilarious.
This is who I am.
But that's the thing, is it's like, I kind of want to document my life without having to be so concerned about like social media norms. Mm-hmm, does that make sense?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Anyway. The norms are exhausting. The norms are what make you, you know, try and think of a caption for 3.5 hours. And it's just like, just post the freaking picture.
Right. And it's, you know, and it's about curation and having it all in one place.
Yeah.
But I do think that like the demand for other people to view it is where I'm kind of over it. Like, I don't actually care. I don't care to have it in front of people's faces.
Right.
Which I guess begs the question, well, why have it on like a public facing blog? Because, like, why not just have it in your camera roll? And I just feel like, because then it's completely disorganized.
Well, yeah. I mean, honestly, I like having a highlight reel of my own life that I can go back and look at.
Yeah. Easily. And like, I do. And there are family members and people who do like seeing this stuff, right. You know, like, anyway.
Anywho.
You're like, which family members? Which family members give
a
shit?
I know. I'm like, which? Yeah. Anywho.
I'm really talking like a sailor today.
You kind of talk like a sailor every day. Just kidding.
I'm sorry, mom and dad. I'm going to really try harder.
This is what I'm also just going to add. A caveat. If we don't get back to you on Pop Apologist for a while, it's because maybe we're trying to be less on social media. That's my my catch-all apology.
Exactly. You guys, we're trying to be less on social. And maybe... And I don't mind encouraging our listeners to be less on social too.
I just want to say I was posting a lot of my close friends like the past few days because I'm also on PTO. I don't really post a lot during work days because I'm exhausted.
Right.
And I feel like then all of a sudden if somebody responds, I literally can't get my job done if I like feel like I have outstanding things to respond to. It's like an OCD thing, I think.
Right.
But anyways, I was posting a lot on close friends and my friend literally said to me, hey, did you just discover close friends? You've been posting a lot.
Oh,
and I'm like,
gosh.
I'm just on PTO. I'm just living my life. I actually now have the brain bandwidth to be posting a lot.
Right.
I don't know how people who have full-time jobs and are constantly posting and like reposting stuff on Instagram. I can't do it.
For me, it's like – it also – I just feel like – and this is maybe dumb and no one wants to hear about this, but I'm just going to talk about it. I just feel like, honestly, the quality of my interior life and thoughts has deteriorated. Like I just feel like – like my appetite and process of like self-reflection has kind of been decimated by this deluge of, you know, of content constant
because you're never alone with your thoughts anymore.
you're never alone with your thoughts.
Unless you're listening. Like, I do find that I am, like, when I, A, don't have service, or when I'm, like, car sick in the car and can't, like, look at my phone, or I'm just, like, listening to music. Like, but those moments are, they don't happen to me every day.
Well, and yeah, and it's, like, remember when you would just, like, listen to music and be alone with your thoughts? Like, I mean, I barely remember that.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I just feel like for me, I don't want to get away from it. I feel like it's so not good right. for my mental health, how I feel about myself physically. It creates so many insecurities. It's totally toxic. No offense to your boss.
Thank you.
To Mark.
Mark appreciates that. I mean, it is. I don't think that most people have figured out a way to like have it in moderation. And so if you need to do cleanses or fast or to take breaks, like, I fully support it. And also, like, as far as Pop Apologist is concerned, like, the podcast is where we, I think, shine. I think that our social is kind of stuff we feel like we have to do.
Right, exactly.
And, like, and I don't think – I would hope that, you know, our listeners wouldn't care as much if we – we're already not very active on it. So it's like, what's the point? But anyway,
yeah, I honestly feel
please
like
– take all the breaks you need.
Thank you. It would be interesting to see what happens to our numbers if we went off. Like, if we just stopped posting teasers right. and just kind of went off social. Fine. It probably would be fine. Like, I think about – there's so many podcasts I listen to, and I don't listen to them because I'm – you know, because they post teasers on Instagram. I listen to them because I'm just accustomed to listening to them.
Literally, yeah.
So
– anyways, okay.
It's an interesting question.
With that vague threat, we might not be on Instagram anymore. We'll see.
We'll see what happens, you guys. I feel like maybe that would be an interesting episode to do, though, because like we did an episode about how Instagram impacts our body image and our self-image.
Yeah.
But I actually think it would be interesting to get people's feedback about how, like, does social media impact everything else in your life.
Yeah. I mean, it's so strange. Now I know we were going to try to wrap this up, but I'll just say, like, I do feel like my brain is just tired. Because I'm constantly feeding it with, like, images and content and, like, whatever. And I do think that, like, I don't really have any, like, turning off my brain feels like a huge ask nowadays.
Mm-hmm. Because even in, like, the moments where, honestly, even, like, going to the restroom, mm-hmm. even walking, somewhere, it's like, oh, well, I'm going to watch stories as I do that.
Yep. Yeah.
You're always going. You're always processing other people's content, other people's days. So you're not processing your own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If I'm off Twitter, if I'm off Instagram, how is that impacting my – like, will I find more time to work out? Will I find more time to, like, be, like, tidier and clean my apartment more regularly or my space? Will I find more time to read? Will I be a better partner? Or, I don't know, will I just be bored all the time? I don't know. I don't want to jump to conclusions, but I do think it would be interesting to know what kind of a person I would be like without this constant deluge of randomness.
Right.
In my life.
Right. Yeah. I would like to also experiment with it as well in my own life.
Honestly, for me, I don't even understand how you keep up because you're different than me, whereas you have so many close friends. Like, you have 20 very good friends, right? Yeah. That's fair to say.
Yeah, yeah.
I have probably 5 or 7. But my close friends and I don't really talk every day at all. Like,
yeah. No.
But you, I feel like you are in constant communication with like 20 people. Plus, you're on social.
Yeah,
like, I don't even understand how you do
really,
it.
I mean, it's so lame, but I just like don't post a lot because it's – I want to just have the space to talk to my friends when I can, and I do feel bad if I can't respond to people. So sometimes like that keeps me from posting.
Yeah. Well, if you guys are interested in this, I think it would be interesting to get people's opinions on this. So maybe we'll do a whole episode about it because I did love our themed episode on relationship red flags.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Anyways, let us know what you think, everybody.
All right. Sorry this episode, you guys. It's just kind of random sister talk. It's, you know.
Winding road.
It's probably not a hit. We're probably not going to send people back to this episode later.
Guys, check out the knockoff Ugg Boots on Amazon. They're great.
But this is what it is.
This is the best we can do right now. Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Signing off.
I'm just going to say before we sign off. We do have a new Patreon coming out this Friday. Who knows what it's going to be about? Probably the rest of our New York trips. If you want to hear about that. Mm. If you want to know how you can support this podcast, number one is signing up for the Patreon. Even just doing that $4.99 tier it really means a lot. Like yeah. the Patreon keeps this podcast going, and that's truly the number one way you can support us. So if you're interested, we would love it if you had signed up. That would be really great. If you sign up for the $7.99 tier, you get 2 new episodes a month. So anyway, I think that's everything.
That's all, baby.
All right. Love you. I'll see okay. you soon.
Love you. See you soon.
Bye.
Bye.
That's all for now, folks. Don't forget, give us a 5-star review, hit us up on Instagram at PopApologists, and we will see you next week, live every Wednesday.